My name is Radka Kunderová. I am the principal investigator of the project Redefining the Agency Post-1989 Crisis of Czech and Former East German Theatre. And I'm about to interview Mr. Erhard Ertl. And today it's the 16th of September 2021 and we are meeting in Berlin.
Nice to meet you.
Welcome, Erhard. Thank you so much for...
Before you start with your questions, I wanted to say what I could see after the change as a scientist, after the change 89. Of course, there was also a lot of changes in the practical world of theater in Germany, especially in East Germany and East Berlin. There have been also a lot of changes in the science, in the theater research. And one thing is, I watched it for over 30 years now, that the distance to the real subject in the practice became bigger and bigger. It was the science or the language of the research work become more meta and meta and meta theoretical. And so the distance became bigger and bigger. I think it's a problem to go back, so your term was redefining, maybe redefining a theater should connect it to a process of redefining theater research. Based on my experience in both societies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you for this. My first question is, looking back, do you think that the 1989 was a turning point in the history of German theater or the former East German theater? Was it a big turning point?
It was not, other than my opinion, it was not and turning point, not a turning point. It was the beginning of a turning process over about, I would say, 15, maybe 15, 20 years. Mm. Sometimes it took a little bit longer. The most famous example, therefore, has been the intendant of Frank Castorf of the Volksbühne. In this case, it took 25 years. He started in 92 and it was finished, his intendant was finished in 2017. And it was a longer process because it was the most substantial process. But normally I think it was not a turning point, it was a turning process. And it took about 10 to 15 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what do you think were the major changes in this process?
The major changes.
Especially when it comes to the former East German theater.
I think it's... On the one hand, it was very important the changes in the way to organize and to finance and to finance the theaters itself. Mm-hmm. Before 89, we had maybe two very different societies, the capitalistic one in the West and the socialist-oriented one in the East. But in both so different systems, the theater structure of the whole country was based of a longer process going back to feudalism when it started. And so we had the same structure of feudal residence theaters and so-called Stadttheater, city theaters, in both different political systems. And so it was not so difficult to bring it together. The structure was the same, but maybe the political Auftrag. Der Auftrag ist Heiner Müller Auftrag. Auftrag. The political.
Yeah, how to say. Never mind. Let's continue.
The political in Russian it would be Sadacha. The political task.
Task offer. Of,
the political task was another one. In East German, it was closer to, in general, political interest to form the people of this country to connect political efforts with educational processes, with developments of everyday life, cultural interest, and so on. It was a very complex process, but in the western part, before 89, I think it was with normally, not at all, but normally in process of a separated cultural field for entertainment in a broad sense, I think. That was very difficult to believe. And this different, or the complex connected with the educational processes, political efforts, with whatever, was reduced to the entertainment aspect. This was one of the most change, I think. It became more and more not in a performance in theater was not more, and part of the life of people's or the spectator of the people's life to develop itself. It became more and more only phenomena to entertain, to be an event in antagonistic way to the hard work on the other side, to your job and to whatever, to your family work, whatever you have to do. But here you can relax in the context of an interesting event. It must be a special event for your life. For example, the Volksbühne, they canceled the abonnement system, but they had full house because they had a special publicum who was interested in theater in the former understanding. But a lot of people came because it was a very interesting event. Another kind of theater they never have seen before, with a new aesthetic, with a political impact, and so on. Let's go back. You was asking for the main change. I think the main change was to become more entertainment, to become an event. Because in the West, you had in the system of the West, you had a strong separation or divided. It was divided. The employed life and the Freizeit.
It's not
I don't know, it's a good term, but the Freizeit. Mm-hmm. And both they had to do nothing with each other in their understanding. And this was really new. Mm-hmm. And so, and it went back to I'm looking for a German term, for an exclusive part of culture. Mm-hmm. In the East, it was not exclusive. everybody was there because in the 80s is Germany had about 17 million people, and they had for 1 year 11 million people in the theater. Maybe everybody has been there not one times, but if you can say how or a big part of this inhabitants of East Germany had been sometimes a year in the theater. Now it became more exclusive. It was more expensive and so on. And you could find therefore in the theater, especially if you look not to Berlin, to the smaller countries all around East Germany, you could find there workers as well as peasants, students, the intelligence, soldiers, because mostly they are sent maybe to the theater, but why not? That's not for that, you can delete it. In the car now, I was listening to some music, and there was a very famous song from P.G. Harvey, Bring It Love to Me. Why not to bring the culture to the people? Mm-hmm. You can't call it restriction or whatever. Mm-hmm. Why not? Maybe these are two points. The entertainment effect and the exclusive effect. Mm-hmm.
And in my project, I think a lot about the social role of theater. And so do you think we could generalize that, in your opinion, the social role of theater after 89 and the reunification became in the former East Germany this entertainment? And what about politics? Did it disappear from theater, in your opinion? Or you mentioned that in Volksbühne the political dimension was still there. What happened?
It would be good if theater would have a social dimension. The theater theory who pointed out this thing was the theory of Bertolt Brecht. Because the function was one of his central term in his theory, the function of theater, the social and political function. But I think after 89, it lost a little bit this function, and it changed to another effect. In my opinion, I would say it became more democratic, but in a bad way. It became more democratic because the theater became, as other arts, the same status of the freedom of everyone, and this is the proclaimed freedom of everyone in the society. Everybody can offer your opinion, your mind, but without any effect. There are a lot of people you will find there on the streets, in demonstrations and wherever. They said, "Oh, we have to fight it. We have to fight that one," and the political said, "Okay. Now you could set your opinion, and now we are going on." And it was the same for the arts. You can say everything. But okay, it's democratic. You have said on the stage what you wanted to say, but now we are going on in our daily life. I think that's what I mean. It became more democratic in this bourgeois way. And you know that in the former East, not only in Germany, but also in the other socialist countries, every time, especially theater, was in fighting against, or was in a fight, in a clinch with the politics or everyone. But this fight showed us that it was, it's important. It could be an effect, we have to control it and so on. But in this fight, it was developing its aesthetics, the contents of this, and so on. And so the most important playwriter after Brecht, everybody will say that, I think, in 100 years. The most important playwriter after Brecht in the 20th century has been Heiner Müller. Not Dürrenmatt, not Xaver Prötz, not whatever, anything. Because of this fight they had with the governments, with the politicians who were responsible for the culture and so on, with the cultural ministry and so on. I think it was hard to produce something at the theater, and we know that some productions had been forbidden and so on, but the fight went on all the time. And so it became, maybe, I don't know if they wanted that, the government, so it became very important in the society. And especially in performing arts, if you understand theater as performing art, because it can't be controlled. If you have a painting, you can check it, and then you can say, okay, it will never be shown at any gallery. Or if a writer is writing a book, okay, it never will be published. But you don't know what an actor in the night on stage will be saying. He has a text in his role, he has to speak something, but maybe he is going to the audience and said, have you heard yesterday? And what is that was that made so it became very political theater. I think that was not more important after the change, because everybody could say whatever he she want everywhere. I think it's necessary to check what is really the sense of democracy, in which kind of society. And if you look back to the ancient Greek society, democracy, it was not a democracy in our, and if you look at this as from a surfaced view, it's not the same.
So you think that the impact of theater, the political impact of theater after the change, after Die Wende, was more or less gone? Because in the democracy...
It's gone. In general, I think it's gone, but not in general. Mm-hmm. There are not too much, but some political effects. If you break a taboo, and we have to look therefore what are also the new taboos in a modern democratic society, and there are taboos, of course, because anti-communism is going on. Nobody is using this term, but I think the history of the last 100, 150 years is also a special history of anti-communism. It's a very difficult subject, but it is, maybe it could be one taboo. The political positions of, if you look for the last periods in Germany. Now, the Merkel, the time of Angela Merkel, and so on, there was a very important slogan, there are no alternatives. It is without any alternative. That's impossible. Everybody, society have to if it, a society want to go on, it has to live with changes and also with breaks, with some breaks. How they will come or how they will take place, I don't know at this moment, but it's necessary to go on to develop the society. I think at this point, we are, now we reached the best of all societies. It's the same in relation to the so-called former, so-called third world, now it's one world, so-called third world, to believe the European or the transatlantic democratic oriented society are the best ones all over the times, all over history, all over the world, and we have to bring it to all the continents. Where it is going, we have seen in Afghanistan now, and we have seen, but we could see if you would look there in Africa and so on. I think that's a field where you can look for taboos and to define it. Mm-hmm. And if you bring these questions to stage, to theater, then it could become very political.
Mm-hmm. And in the 1990s, what kind of taboos were staged? Did it happen that some theater makers touched them and performed them?
Good question. In the 90s, the most political or most famous theater has been the Volksbühne. In this time, in the 90s, then it came, I don't know if you can call it so, in this way, in the theater history, a valley. But then when he started with the Dostoevsky adaptations and so on, it became political once again. Mm-hmm. It was such a movement at the end of the 90s, the beginning of the 2000s years, there was the valley, and then it became really, and the efforts become more and more to finish the intent of Frank Castorf at the theater. Nobody at the theater wanted that. Mm. It was a political problem to cancel it. It's enough now. Mm-hmm. It's enough now. We have go to commercial events, what we have seen with the Icon and so on. What I said in the beginning, events, entertainment, but it failed. Back to the 90s. I think the most problem was now we have to change. You will be, you all brothers and sisters will come to the new Germany, and there's no need to talk about the German history of the last time. That was, I think, the most, we can talk about that later, 20 years or whatever, and maybe, and we will create some political slogans like, I don't know the English terms, you have heard it, the Schießbefehl, Mangelwirtschaft, Schießbefehl, the order to shut at the border, Mangelwirtschaft, an industry, without resources, and so on. Okay, some maybe 5 stars to describe former East Germany only. But it was crazy. But no, it shouldn't be a subject to discuss the German history of the last 40 years. and maybe to check if there had been something sensible or successful, maybe in education, maybe in culture. And maybe everybody knows that that East Germany was a leading society, especially in sports and in culture. It has been so. Because if you look for the stuff of the Western German theater, okay, there had been some famous names, directors and so on and so on. But since the end of the 70s, after the so-called Biermann affair, a lot of, especially from theater, artists had left East Germany. And so we had in West Germany not a West German theater, we had an East German, not dominated, but East German influenced theater in the West this time. And in East, you had your East German theater. Mm-hmm.
And would you say that after 1990 it became the opposite, that the East German theater was dominated by the West German theater because the East German theater had to adopt to the Western system?
No, maybe there had been people in politics and the cultural scene, they wanted that, but it didn't work because the quality of the East West German influence was not good enough. Hmm. If you look for the developments, especially in the 90s, the Volksbühne development was absolutely dominated by East Germans, the directors like Frank Hastorf or Kriegenburg, also the actors and the actresses. And then there had were working people from the left scene from the West, like Lilienthal, or people with a distance to West Germany came from Switzerland, like Marthaler. That was not in West German partner, or the absolutely left-oriented dance theater of from Austrian director, choreographer, names. It's hard. Later. Mm-hmm. So it was a combination of East German and opposite theater makers from the Western parts, from Austria, from the German speaking West, from West Germany, from Austria, from Switzerland. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, another example, you could look for is the Berliner Ensemble before Peymann's intendant. Then there had been five famous people who led it as a collective. The theater, like Heiliner Müller, Matthias Langhoff, and other famous directors came from the Brecht from the Brecht clan. It was led by an absolvent of the East German theater research, Stefan Suschke, and so on. And you found a lot of intendants in theater in smaller towns. The influence was not so strong. And if there came new leaders from the West, it was not really important. I think the East German geprägt. The East German not only influenced, East German influenced and whatever formed the East German formed theater will be ending in a biological way. Mm-hmm. If all there had also been some people who had the theory that the East German, West German development, the so-called unit, never will be reached. It will be reached in another way, in a biological way, maybe in 20 years, since all people born in GDR will be died. It's a strong theory, but it looks a little bit this way. That maybe in, I would add something. You have to look, therefore, that the East German or the German development in theater, or the change from the socialist conditions of theater production in the East, the change had been another one in Germany than in the other socialist countries in the East. Because Polish had to change a Polish theater from a to a Polish theater. There was not the question, have you adapt another thing like the, another German theater? Have you adapt another Polish or another Czech theater or a Hungarian one? They have to change only themselves. But in the German way, there was they came not together. German parts of a bigger society with a long also common history, with a long also common traditions and so on, but also with different younger traditions. That was not the point in Poland, Czech, or the other socialist countries. Mm-hmm. They had to change yourself. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very different process.
Yeah. And what do you think was the strongest aspect of this West German influence or maybe pressure a little bit? The East Germans had to come to terms with in theater.
I would say one thing we talked already about was the focus to entertainment. I think another one is another point is to make theater more interesting in a formal way, with formal experiments. Beside political contents and so on, it must be extraordinary interest also for the media to publish it and so on. So it started a fight. Who could be the most effectful one, who has the most interesting formal ideas to change theater? I think that was another point. And so we had a long, maybe formal, in the surface, interesting theaters. But if I look for the function, for the social effects and so on, it's very difficult to find it. That could be another point. And I think a third one could be the differences in the understanding of acting. I think it was very different. And this was more in the Western sense. It's my impression. Can they talk for them? And my impression, it's more a profession, like handcraft. not so close to your biography, to your political statements and so on, like in East Germany. What in the term of Brecht would be called gesture, the political, the social gesture. That was very close to the way of acting in the East. But now it became more professional as you are a professional, you can do that. I can play every role, I can change myself, but that's not the interest of the West German theater and the performing arts. If you where it is going, you can see, if you look for the media productions, I'm talking about the fiction, maybe the fiction movies. If a fiction movie is promoted in the media, they don't say, for example, famous artist, maybe Paul Müller, is creating the role of Hamlet. No, Paul Müller is Hamlet. Hans Meyer is Arnold Schwarzenegger is the Terminator. It's not an understanding of theater as to playing a role, or that this is a play on stage. It is a communication process. No, it is like an under kind of reality. That's one of the most problems we have in the modern times, to define what in this, not this days, this time, is reality, what is real. We are sitting in real, we are in, a corporeal way, in a three-dimensional room and so on. But the virtual reality is an extreme, but between all the things, there are so many kinds of realities you could define. And in this context, if you look for how to define reality, you have to look at what does it mean to act on stage. And what is stage in difference to the reality, the everyday life or political reality, or it's another kind of reality itself. It is an artificial reality, of course, you know. But all this effort to make a construction, a system of different meanings of reality could be helped to understand our look to what is all around us and how somebody who makes theater, who has to act, to perform, what he is doing in this context, and how is the relation then to his own biography, to his own experience in social life, and so on. I think these relations changed. It would be the third point. Maybe there are a fourth or a fifth one. I don't know at this moment.
So you would say that under the influence of this West German tradition of acting, the East German acting changed during the 1990s to some extent.
It changed. In a lot of cases, but not in the theaters where they tried to go on, like at the Volksbühne, as a political, there was a sentence from Frank Castorf, but I can't translate it. Maybe here somebody can. He said in German, die Aufgabe unseres Theaters wird es sein, den Finger in die Wunde zu stecken, dass das Blut wieder fließt. um unsere Zeit zu verstehen.
I will try to, just for the record, I will try to translate. So Franka Surf said that the task of their theater was to put a finger into the wound to make the blood flowing again.
Flowing again, to be a living, to become a living process of communication.
And you said... And you said that Volksbühne somehow wanted to continue or that they kept some continuity between what was before 89 and 90 and after. So would you please characterize the political stand of Volksbühne in the early 90s and Kastrop?
Maybe we can say von Castorf's idea was to go on with the same strategy, but in another way at the same time, to fight the society, the politics, and so on. But he said, we have to look therefore what are the new questions. What are the new enemies we have to fight for? The task of the theater, the function of the theater should stay the same one, to fight against the established political situation and established political meanings and so on. But we have to check now in the 90s who is the new enemy and who are the new questions we have to ask. Therefore, that I think was the change. That they tried to continue in changing.
Mm-hmm. And have you seen the Räuber production?
Of course, it's also written about the Räuber.
Yeah. And would you, again, could you describe what the political... I don't want to say message, but what was political about the production at the time?
I don't know if you know that last week there was a premiere of the Räuber in the City Theatre of Dessau, directed by an actor, very famous actor, Milan Peschle, Milan Peschle was a young man playing a smaller role in the Castorf staging 30 years ago. And he tried to continue with the same play in the political sense of in the way Castorf did 30 years. I have seen it. It was the premiere was last week, but next time I will go there to see it. Okay, back. What was the impulse maybe of Castorf this time? The main term to one of the main terms to describe the change in 89 was in German language Friedliche Revolution, the peaceful revolution, and Castorf made this performance of the Räuber not when he started as intendant 2 years ago, 2 years before in 1990. The premiere was on 7th on October. That was when the GDR was founded, the birthday of the GDR. That was a political point he made. Okay, and I think the concept of his staging was to look or to analyze these terms, peaceful and revolution. Distance here to the term revolution. And he was asking, was it really a revolution? Maybe it was a little bit more like a rebellion. Because what Schiller described was not a revolution, it was a rebellion what should I describe was a rebellion without a political goal. There were people that had been unzufrieden.
Unsatisfied.
And they want to change something, but they not really know what they have to change, what they have, and what becomes then after the change. And that was the same situation. That was not a revolutionary situation in 89. Not in this way to go for the German unit. They were unsatisfied with the developments of the 80s in East Germany, of course. And there, some people want to change it. The smaller part of the society wanted to change it, really, as a political process. And the bigger part of society wanted a better life, absolutely practical scene. That's why then when they proclaimed you will get the West German currency, the D-Mark, then the world is, the revolution will be finished. So he was asking for the term revolution, but was it a revolution or not? Was it and change maybe also by a Zufall?
Is it by chance, by accident?
No. Zufall. If you don't want to do everything, but it happens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Zufall in German. And what does it mean? It was peaceful. It was very dangerous at this time. I think it was 50-50, it could be also end really bloody in this time, like in China, where nobody can answer. It's very good that it has been peaceful at the end, but nobody knows in October of 89 what really could happen. I think it was a 50-50 situation, but not only so peaceful. And then he was asking in this, okay, was it a revolution? Who made this revolution? Had a political program? They wanted really to change the society, not only the personal life. Nothing had been there. And then who is the leader of this movement? It is in person, it is there, it is in political movement like a party or whatever. Nothing has been there. And he has shown that on stage when they are asking, who will be our leader? Nobody want to be the leader. Then he said, you, Karl, you have to be the man. And they take him, maybe you have seen in recording, like a marionette, and then try to start. You have to go. You are the leader now in this way. And at the end of the performance, he is asking, that has been an historic process, and it is going, the staging on the or the staging is going back like in on video or in cinema. It would be Rücklauf, the return. Mm-hmm. Like if you remove a movie,
mm-hmm.
they're acting, but all of you went back because has it taken place? Has it been sinful? What it has been? Absolutely in the beginning, was it in a revolution? What was it? And I think that was a very interesting concept of this performance.
What about the audience? What kind of people were
attending? I will answer your question. And Milan Peschel, now 30 years later, I have only read the critics or heard some critics on radio and so on. A very good one. And he's asking the question once again. And he asks, have we now more distance to answer this question? Has it been a revolution, or was it a peaceful colonization? And maybe sometimes all the people who are colonized are happy. You will find it all over the world. It's a very strong question. But it's very clear that he's asking this question now with a distance of 30 years. Okay, the audience. Nobody made investigations. Therefore, that's in general problem in theater research. Mm-hmm. All the time we are looking for the productions. Also when we are recording theater, we are recording the stage, but not the audience. But in my last seminar in the springtime, we were talking about this problem. The subject of my seminar was theater, performing art, but not in the way of the classical theater, in the way of sport and music. And they said what they watched was always that in recordings about sport, all the time you have seen the actors, the acting ones, and the audience. If you look for the recordings or the live presentation in TV of the Tour de France, millions of people, they are watching it, and they are what in meta-theoretical terms is the feedback. The feedback is seen and reflected, and so on. So your question is to answer very difficult, but we have a lack to investigate these feedbacks, how it works really. The question is how to investigate that, only by answering, by interviews of the audience or whatever. But something you can say to the reactions of the audience in the Räuber performance, because Castorf in the middle of the performance, he made a break. It was an insinuated break. Henry Hübchen, who was playing Franz Moor, he stopped and said, "Okay, I'm an actor." He came up to the audience from the stage. "I'm an actor, and I'm playing this role since 300 years. I'm playing it for you, but I'm not sure of you really understand what I'm doing and what I want to say to you. You have other interests. You want to buy a new car now, and you want to buy everything. But what you have done in the past, now you have the German mic, but what you have done for the revolution." So there were very strong reactions. What question? Are you allowed to ask me as a Zuschauer, spectator, this question? And I was clean. There was a strong reaction. It was the same sometimes later. It was in 1993, I think. He made one of his early performances was Clockwork Orange. And it was the same that it came. There had been protests from the audience. "That's not Clockwork Orange, what you show there on stage." For example, the Eric's, the main figure in the Clockwork Orange, is in the hospital. He is he should be influenced, Jones, by looking movies,
with violence,
by violated movies and so on. And what did Kustoff? He used this scene, this context, but what Alex had to see was not fiction movies of violence. He had to see a movie made by the Nazis about Terezin. Look for the leader, the Führer has produced a special city for you. And, so he turned it into the political way. That's not the Clockwork Orange. They were protesting, and there had been strong discussions. And in this case of Clockwork Orange, that was not only a discussion in the theater. There were some fights and some broken windows. It was very hard. And then it went on in a radio discussion next week. Some of the speakers were invited, the actors came, and 1 hour they discussed the problems. That's an effect where theater becomes very public, and where the fact that it is a communication process theater went on. That was very, I think that was in the beginning, these confrontations, and this to produce such discussions. Maybe only differences sometimes was very successful.
And going back to the Räuber production and the audience, would you say that the audience changed after 89-90? That maybe with Kustorf, of course, Kustorf became intendant in 92, but do you think that his work, like the Räuber, attracted different audiences than used to attend?
Because they cancelled the Anrecht, the Abonnement system, a lot of other people came to the theatre, younger ones from other social groups in the city, from the east, from the west, and so on. And so it was a more different audience there, not so strong theater interested, good educated and so on people. It was a broader representation of the society in this audience. I think that was very good. And so they had different views to what happens on stage. I think it was this broader social represented audience.
And do you think that Frank Kustorf in Die Räuber was nostalgic about the GDR era? Or
no, he never has been nostalgic.
Not at all.
And you will find it in all interviews. You have to make a difference. If you be somebody who is nostalgic, he hasn't been, never. Or if you stand by your values, political values, you accept. And he has an image of a society he is fighting for. And he knows this society is not this one which is gone. It is an other one who has to create somewhere in the future. Nobody knows how long it takes, but it has to be to create, because this the so-called real existing socialism was not really a proletarian society. It was a society of Kleinbürger, not the bourgeois, I don't know if you can say the trite, I don't know. There's, I think there will be a special term there for Kleinbürger, not the bourgeois, people that was not really proletarian. So in his opinion, I think I can speak for him in this way, in his opinion, it was only a beginning experiment. It was not an existing, it was something was existing, of course, but it was not the so-called developed socialism. It was a political term. In the 50s, were characterized as a period of producing the base for socialist society, and then in the 60s they realized society, and since the 70s, it was the same as the Czech and Pole, they were talking about the developed socialist society, but it had been really developed. It was in the beginning of an experiment, and this experiment failed. Okay, that's the history of this 40 years. And why he should have a distance to an experiment or to begin the strategy? He see that it was, unfortunately, it didn't go on, of course, but the idea of another society based on a special theory, because it's necessary to decide between the theoretical Marxism as in philosophical entwurf and maybe a philosophical creation
vision
of another society at what is done. Of course, every time we had a history which took place in the name of. If you look for East Asian history, of the area of Pol Pot, in the name of.
I'm so sorry. I would need to go back to our topic a little bit. Thinking about Kastorf and Volksbühne, would you say that there were other politically oriented ensembles or theaters in Germany, in the former East Germany, in the 1990s?
Maybe. I didn't make any research work therefore, but okay, maybe there were a lot of concepts in the sense of an understanding of theater like fine arts. It's in the flower of our society are the arts and theater as well, maybe. And there was another maybe interesting concept in also in East Germany in Cottbus. The head of the theater this time in the 90s has been, I don't know the name at this moment, maybe later. That was also looking for the process of changing the society, but more, a little bit more nostalgic. I said, okay, we have to look, therefore, what had been successful in East Germany in the society. What could be talked about to change something in the new united Germany, especially like the role of the woman or the social situation of women was one very important point. The social dimension of employment, it's not only to work therefore that you get your money to pay everything you have to do. You have to look what does it mean as in what is the social impact of to be employed. How we have to look for the importance of biographies. Can you make, you can be cut it, or have you work with these biographies? Maybe that could be points in this movement. The name of this projects they did some months over more, some years, it was in German terms Zonenranderkundung. Zonenranderkundung is called Zonen Borderline Investigations. And borderlines had not only been the political border, sondern the borderline of thinking about the role of the woman and about the social biographies and so on.
One general question about the 1990s. Some historians or commenters consider the 1990s in German theater a time of crisis. Would you agree that there was a theater crisis in the 1990s?
No, I won't. I think the crisis, maybe 10 years later, in the beginning of the new millennium, there had been a crisis, not in the 90s. Because there had been so many problems people had to solve. I wouldn't agree.
And the crisis about the year 2000, what were the reasons of it, you think?
Maybe the whole East German society was a little bit tired because of the efforts they had to make to accept and to understand how to live, how to move in this new society. It was very strong for a lot of people and they lost the illusions. Therefore, in the 90s, there was this more a little bit hope to maybe not to change it once again, but to influence it a little bit. I think it was in process of disillusion. They had been tired and a little okay.
And you personally, may I ask you what kind of expectations you had in 1989-90 about the future development, let's say, of theater?
Of theater?
Yeah. Or in general, if you like.
I have to see it in relation to my research interests, which has been for a longer time. Therefore, as I said, sport and music as performance arts, not with performance effects, as performance art itself. If you check all the actual theater theories, maybe since the change, the theory is right, but if you look for examples therefore, for this feedback, you will better examples in sport and music than in the theater, for a theater theory. That's very interesting. If you are talking about the role of the body on stage, but you look for sport, it is the main role, and the body is talking also in sports. It's not only he's not only running on it. It has a meaning as well, because moving your body is the basis of all history of man, of human beings. And it is talking about without words, and so on. Okay, so I think there had been a change, and we had, as theater researcher, to accept it, that the new theater, we had not, okay, there's other cultural practicals. No, we have to understand this may be the new main theater in the society. If you look for the most important role, political role of theater in Germany, maybe in Europe as well, started in the 18th century to look for the so-called national theater, to create to push the development of a nation. Mm-hmm. But then, do we have a national theater this moment? No. Everybody who's every theater researcher maybe would say no, but we have it in sport. The new football, if you look for the world championships and so on, what's going on, especially in this valley, was the desolation time, the world championship took place in Germany, 2006. And it was in deep valley, and as a reaction, therefore, came up a very patriotic national movement this time, with flags and so on. I think this is the new kind of national theater, as a possibility for people to identify, to share values, and so on. And you can now look for, what about experimental theater? The sense of experimental theater in the past had been what human beings, what a man could be, what he can do, and where a borderline and so on. What in sports, all the times they are looking for the borderline in professional sports, not in what you are doing after your work today in the afternoon. That's another thing. You can walk in professional day, and that's why I have a very special position in the so-called doping discussion, because if you look therefore as an experiment, as a public experiment, also in the 17th century, look for the so-called anatomic theater. What is a man? What does it mean? In this case, in an anatomic way. But what is inside this man? What is it? We are looking therefore since the late, the second half of the 19th century, the same process takes place in sports. What does it mean? What is a man? What he can realize himself? It was interesting for the industry. Where are the borderlines? A change from anatomy to physiology, mm-hmm. theater, and that you can see. Mm-hmm. I think this both may be poles, positions of theater, the national theater and the experimental theater, today is realized by sports. Sports theater. Mm-hmm. There's no need for the traditional theater to look for dysfunction. They have to look for other functions. They had mich. Das ist furchtbar. Die Namen, die Names. Matthias. Matthias, what is his... The main term of this, what kind of theater? He was dealing...
Applied theater.
Applied. Okay, you can look for which kind of applied theater, maybe in a special way, are interested beside the National Theater and the other ones. It could be very interesting. Is this, and how are the weighted, gewichtet, waged?
Balanced.
How it is balanced between practical effects or this educational or political or whatever effects. I think that should be redefined, this view to theater. What are the most important and central functions of theater, of the more closer view to theater? But the big effects for the whole society, I don't know how many percent of a society go to theater now. 5%?
In the Czech Republic, it's less. I think it was about, I don't know, 1-3% before the pandemic.
Who knows? It's not too much. No. But look for the influence of the other kinds of theater I was talking about, like sport. And if you have problems in the society and you have to influence the people, you have to active people to do something, then very famous sportswomen, or very famous pop musicians, they are talking as political agitators. That's very interesting. Agitation in the National Theater. Okay, they tried to present their bourgeois values on stage in their plays and to proclaim political ideas in the speech. If everybody has to do that now, it must be somebody from famous from sport or from, and all the people there listen. Stop if some sportsman would say stop fascism now, neo-fascism now. It's more important than in the theater to do it in performance. I think that's also in field of research in the context of redefining. So that's what I mean, to combine redefining theater with redefining theater research and redefining theater theory.
And that is a beautiful conclusion. Thank you very much. Thank you.